Hi, welcome to All These Things Podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Artesia.
We're a married couple in our late 20s navigating life in corporate America.
One part auditor.
One part PR professional.
No kids yet, but in the meantime, we enjoy traveling, finding unique events, and plotting our next adventure. On All These Things, we talk about all things relationships, success, culture, wealth, inspiration, and whatever else is top of mind. Listen in and enjoy All These Things Podcast.
Let's start the show.
All right, well, let's get into it. Post-Valentine's Day podcast. We had a great time. This year was a little bit different. You know, usually when we're trying to do Valentine's Day, we go something super romantic, dinner, some sort of activity or whatever the case is. But this time we actually did something that was pretty true to what we're excited for in terms of movie season.
We kept it very chill. We just went to a movie, but it was kind of like a different experience. We went to watch Love Jones,
yes.
The iconic Love Jones, which I had not seen before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you've seen it before either.
What do you mean you don't think I've seen it? I've definitely seen Love Jones.
I don't know. I think we both watched it for the first time.
I am the purveyor of black film to you.
Oh, okay.
Remember, you had also not seen Jungle Fever until you met me.
I know. There's some true classics I need to catch up on.
And I'm helping you.
But we went to go see Love Jones. Through a group called Flicks Indie.
It's Cinema Indie.
Cinema Indie.
And the event was Flicks and Chill. So I was looking for, you know, something cool to do. And it was definitely nice because they rented out a loft space. They filmed it. It was a good group, maybe 40 to 50 people with really nice snacks, champagne, wine, everything. So it was a nice alternative way to kind of celebrate Valentine's Day in a group.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was nice, but it really was informal, I felt like. They kind of put some chairs out, put some couches out, set off the food, but it was a very chill vibe. It felt like there was a lot of other, like, young black couples around our age, and everybody was clearly, you know, coming from work or coming from dinner,
yes.
Just, like, looking for an opportunity to chill, and it was just, like, they almost created a setting of, oh, we just went to a friend's house and watched a movie, even though, like, you don't know these people.
Right.
It was just the setting of, like, we got some snacks, we got some drinks, and we're going to watch this.
No, definitely. I saw a framework for, like, what we could do if we ever wanted to kind of have something going on with all these things. It was a nice type of event.
Brunch and a Broadway show coming soon.
I definitely think Brunch and Broadway is coming.
We've been talking about this for a while, so look for it most likely in March. We'll probably start our Brunch and a Broadway show series, so we'll put out more of that to come later. But
stay tuned.
The Flicks and Chill was a very nice night. Perfect to keep it kind of low-key, but still, you know, cuddle up, watch a movie, have a good time. But we're excited to do the podcast today. We have some fun topics, so let's go straight to Be Better.
Be Better is our segment where we give you a tip or trick that you can use during your week to make your work life or your relationship life better.
Okay, so my Be Better is about meeting domination. I tend to be a thinker. I'm a person who processes things. So when I go to meetings, I'm usually listening for what people are saying, trying to get a sense of things. And I had a former supervisor who told me that sometimes people had questioned whether or not I was really, like, invested in the meeting because I wasn't speaking. And I told her, well, honestly, I just want to get what people are saying, and then I form an opinion. And she said, just for our perception's sake, but also to let people know that you're really focused on it, you should say something relevant to the meeting within the first 20 minutes. Or if you have a short meeting, within the first third. Just so people know you're active. And she said, honestly, you have good thoughts. It's good to just start putting them out there. And I think for me, it was a good revelation because sometimes I think I have to think really hard and really offer something substantive. And I think we've all been in meetings where people are just talking the talk and you're like, that's what everybody's excited about. So I think from my perspective, it's important for me to do that. And it's something that I think about constantly. And it might help you guys out as well as you think about how you can kind of stake your claim in a meeting and be seen as somebody who has something really valuable to contribute. Within the first third of that meeting, say something relevant to the conversation.
That's good, and it's totally true. My Be Better this week is not associated with work. It's more associated with relationships.
That's good, too.
And I was kind of reminded from this that one thing that we did, was it after we got engaged or right after we got married? One or the other, we read Gary Chapman's Five Love Languages. And might be better for you this week, if you haven't heard of the book, it's pretty popular, but if you haven't heard of it, is to read this book. It really helps you understand your partner a little bit better and understand what keeps their love tank full. But might be better is if you've already read it and you already kind of know what your love language is, what your partner's love language is, the be better is actually execute their love language for them. And just remember to do that, you know, to continue to create special times and do special things for your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife, consistent with their love language. So if you know that they are a words of affirmation person, give them those encouraging words, those compliments. If they are a act of service person,
yeah,
which you are, find some way that you can be of service to them and help them out. The other ones here are receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. So again, if you haven't read this book or taken the quiz to find out which love language you are and which one your significant other is, I encourage you to do it. And so this week I was just kind of reminded about keeping that in mind, keeping love tanks full, keeping each other happy, and that's it.
Well, I just got to say real quick, I love how you can't remember if it was right after we got married or engaged, because I guess it's one big blur now, huh?
It was after we got engaged, but before we got married, because did Pastor tell us we had to read that?
You still got questions.
I don't remember.
I'm going to let that pass, because you're focused on keeping my love tank full.
Well, it was
after we got engaged, we were talking with the pastor, and he's the one who suggested that we read the book.
Okay. Well, I remember reading the book on the hill, and it being a very nice
It really is a good book, and I agree with what you said there, because for me, it helped me understand you in a way that, honestly, I'm like, all right, we're engaged, but there's still some stuff I didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
It will help you think about the person. So if you and your partner actually go through the exercise, I think you'll learn a little bit more about simple ways to keep each other happy.
Yeah.
So nothing earth-shattering, but the process will open your eyes.
Funny enough, that takes us into all things relationships.
In all things relationships, we dig into the hot topics all couples deal with from both a men's and women's perspective.
Okay, so for all things relationships, I saw this post come across this girl on Instagram who I follow, and I wanted to kind of discuss it, get your thoughts.
Okay.
So what she shared was, she said, "My pastor said that premarital counseling is to see if you should get engaged, not after you should get engaged. I've been thinking about it all wrong." So I definitely wanted to get your thoughts, because our process was what I feel like is pretty traditional for people who get married in a church. You get engaged, you contact your pastor or whoever to do your wedding, and they say, okay, I want you to go through a few weeks of counseling, or I want you to meet with me for a few weeks, or however they phrase it. But it's all post-engagement. So what do you think of this school of thought, where you should actually be taking the premarital counseling before you even enter engagement?
Well, I can see where they're coming from with it,
mm-hmm.
because at every stage in a relationship, I feel like you're on a bit of a sliding scale. It's like, okay, you're kind of sliding towards engagement and marriage the longer you get in it. I think there's a flat period, probably after, and of course, you know, it always depends on age, but after about 6 or 7 months of being together, I think people are at this point starting to ask questions about where you're going in terms of your relationship.
Depending on how old you are.
Yeah.
Did you just say that?
Yeah, it depends on age. So I would say if you're over 26
and
you've been dating someone for 7 months, one of those two people is questioning where the relationship is going, whether or not they talk about it.
Okay.
So in terms of the counseling part, the reason I brought that up is I feel like every step begets the next step. So if he's saying that, or if he or she, this pastor, is saying that the purpose of premarital counseling is to determine whether or not you should get engaged,
mm-hmm.
I can see their perspective, because once you're engaged, it's a very big deal to then suddenly not be engaged.
Right. It's hard to break it off.
It's hard to break it off. And a lot of people, well, let me not say a lot. I've heard people say that they feel pressured. Once they're in it, it takes a lot to get yourself out of it if you realize there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll even bring my mother into this. When I was getting engaged to you, mm-hmm. her one piece of advice was, just make sure you know what you're doing. Are you certain that you want to do this?
Okay.
Because it's a big deal. And it's the same way you think about other stages of life. Like when you move in with someone, are you certain? Because your life gets more complicated when you, if you break up and you need to move out.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think that I wasn't thinking about that when I moved in with you. Like, wow, this is going to make things complicated if we break up. You don't think about breaking up because you're together.
Sorry, I'm a guy. We think about what the exit strategy is at any given point.
Wow.
And when you're getting closer, when you move in with someone, when you get engaged, there is less and less of an exit strategy. It is much more difficult for that.
Right. So, which is kind of the point.
Well, no, and that's why I see the point that this pastor is making, because if you go through this counseling and you find out some things about someone that you had not known before, or you feel differently now,
you may not want to be engaged.
You may not want to get engaged.
Well, so one thing that I think this is good in theory, but in execution, I think it's really hard, because I do feel like it's hard for, realistically, for couples, like say in their mid or late 20s, to not be engaged, but then say, I want to go to marital, like premarital counseling, because then it's like, okay, is this the test of whether we should get engaged? If we don't go here, can we just get engaged and be happy? I think if the real goal is to kind of entice, or not entice, but like encourage people of that age group to like get counseling before they consider engagement and marriage, mm-hmm. I think it should be called something else. I just feel like if you would have told me, I mean, I guess if you would have told me, being who I am, I might have been okay with that, because I would have been like, we're on an engagement track then. But then I would have been worried that the things that we were talking about there would deter you from proposing, if that makes sense.
No,
whereas
makes
I'm like,
sense.
if we just kept dating and things are going well, then you would be proposing to me anyways.
But the counter to that is, if we're truly meant to be, mm-hmm. then nothing in that meeting would really deter me. It would give me some things to think about, but
I
it's
know.
Not going to stop me from doing it, but because we're supposed to get married, and I think that's where they're trying to get to.
I think that's what I think that that's fine, but I do think that some people would look at that, the counseling that's happening, as I'm finding if there are deterrents. And
well, that's,
I guess you're saying that's the point.
No, that is how this is set up. If this counseling is taking place before you get married.
Mm-hmm. Before you get engaged.
Before you get engaged. Because, matter of fact, even after you get engaged, that level of counseling, it's there. I mean, it's all a bunch of gut checks.
Yeah.
The things you're talking about are brought up so that you can talk about them. Because if you have fundamental differences, the idea is that you should work them out before you get married.
Yes, but think about it. If you're engaged and you then go to your counseling before you get married, mm-hmm. and you have fundamental differences, because you're engaged, I think that you have, you both of the people, when I say you, I mean both parties, they have a reason to get through it, because it's like, I'm engaged. I want to stay engaged. I want to get married. So when I see and I hear something that's a deterrent, I'm willing to like discuss it more, or let it go, or like work through it. Whereas I feel like if we're just boyfriend and girlfriend and I get a deterrent, then it's like, I should go. I should leave. This is a deterrent. And I think that if you were engaged, there's a little bit of an anchor to be like, okay, this
right.
is a thing, but you have to work through it.
And
just like you would in marriage.
Right. And there are two sides to that. Because I think you're right. If there's nothing really tying you, like an engagement.
Right.
Like an expensive ring.
So this is probably just breaking people up.
No, I don't think it's just breaking people up. I think if you're doing it right, what it will do, if you do it before you're engaged, is really make you think about when is the appropriate time to do it. Because you will easily break up if you go too soon.
It's going to elongate the time period that people are going to take to get engaged.
Yes,
which has its
so.
Pros, you know, which there are some good things about that. But at the same time, sometimes I think that people really get in their head a little bit. For instance, this guy, he's been with his girlfriend for 7 years. Many of those years were in college. 4 of those years were in college. So he's been with her 3 years post-college. And so everybody in the group was just like, oh, well, you know, you're getting about to be about that time, kind of just, you know, razzing him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, I know, everyone is saying this. but another guy on the team, they were just starting to talk about engagement rings.
Sure.
And another guy on the team, who's now married and has a daughter, he's like, listen, don't spend all your savings on the ring. It's not worth it. And then he said, well, that's what I did, because I guess he got engaged kind of young. Mm-hmm. And he like spent everything, like all the money he had on the engagement ring. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, yeah, you could use that for a house later. You could use that for anything else. You know, it just doesn't matter. And I heard that and I was just like, but there was something whimsical about you being young and in love and buying the girl you love a ring. Mm-hmm. That like, as you get older, you're like, I want to be fiscally responsible about my decisions. And I don't think that I should spend more than X thousands of dollars on a ring because it's just a piece of jewelry. And you almost get too like mature about it, you know? And I guess that's kind of a long way of kind of getting back to this, where it's like, there's something to be said about like, I'm in love with this person and I want to be engaged to them so I can marry them. And like, is the counseling like making this too much?
I don't think it's making it too much. I think it depends on the type of relationship you have, and you know what it is. I know some people that are probably farther down the religious scale than we are, mm-hmm. in terms of how they handle their relationship. And I know they've done that type of counseling, but it worked for them because part of how they grew as a couple was having that type of relationship with their pastor and meeting and talking about things. That was part of how they grew together and got to the point where they were actually ready to be engaged. And I think if you go to this type of counseling, you already have to have some sort of understanding that you want to get married.
Right.
You can't just go to it saying like, oh, I'm thinking about this, let's do it. But like how we used to go to open houses and just be like, oh, well, you know, we're going to live together at some point, so let's see what types of things we like.
Right.
It's not that light of a decision. So I think you have to have an understanding. And to that end, though, I get what you're saying, though, where it takes a little bit of the fun out of it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're already having that understanding, then it's not a matter of, are you going to get engaged? It's just a matter of when.
Right.
And then you kind of wait.
Well, speaking of the open houses, we should keep doing that.
Okay. You want to go shopping again?
I'm just saying, if you guys listen to our podcast a couple weeks ago, you know we're living at home again.
Oh, my gosh.
We should look at some open houses. We should start thinking on that track.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to take some energy for me to get back there.
Those were fun days, though.
Yeah, there was fun days because we were young. We didn't have anything
to do. Oh, honey, we're still young.
Oh, fine. We are busier than we were then.
Yes, that's true. All right, let's get to the next segment.
In All Things Culture, we highlight the most interesting things that cross our social feeds during the week.
Okay, so for All Things Culture, we're going to talk about an app/documentary that I heard about. It's not a documentary, so let me just scratch that.
Okay.
It's for sure not a documentary, but it's called The And, and I guess it's from a group called The Skin Deep. And basically there's an app where you can get hundreds of questions that are it's meant to be asked back and forth between friends, people in a relationship, your family, exes, first dates, or even you can play with strangers. So basically, like, they just give you a question. It's like a prompt, right? Like, you remember writing prompts in school? Mm-hmm. So you answer the question and it kind of lets you spark a conversation. I think that's their greater like mission, is to get people talking, get people sharing their experiences. And I think they want you to like record yourself and share and be a part of the larger group. But I found a few of them on their website. The app is $1.99. We can go through these questions and see if we want to buy the app.
Okay.
It's an interesting concept.
But just off the jump, like, there are a few different things you said there that made me wonder. One, they said you could play this game with exes. Why would you meet up with an ex and play a game?
No, I don't know. I guess it's like, if you're killing time or if it becomes awkward, you can always say, oh, I have some questions from the And.
No. Who does that with an ex? It's like, unless you're trying to get back.
Well, I guess it depends on the questions, because maybe it's something like, why did you leave me?
Okay, you don't need an app for that.
No, because sometimes people don't know, honey.
Okay, you don't need an app to, like, make you think that that's the question you want to
ask.
Well,
maybe there's other things I'm not thinking of.
Right. Number two is they said first date.
Yeah, that could be fun.
No, I don't know. I get how it could be fun, but I think, and this is a lot coming from the guy who met you on Match, but I don't know that technology facilitating your conversation in person on the first date is the way to go. Maybe you want to go ahead and download the app and look through some questions and then just have those ready as thought starters versus like, okay, so let's talk.
I have a game.
I have this game and it'll tell us what we're going to talk about.
Well, we're going to play the game right now. So I hope that you like it because I have five questions or four questions.
Yeah, and it's great now that we're already married. And as you note from All Things Relationships, we have an anchor to keep us together.
You ain't going nowhere.
That's what you think.
You ain't going nowhere. Where you going?
I'm going to school.
Exactly. And you'll be back at the end of the day. And don't forget to bring your check.
That's what Salome said.
Okay. One of the questions that they have here. So we'll just go like kind of quick through these. What dictates your decisions, your head or your heart?
In general, I'm just going to say my head.
Okay. Why? Or elaborate.
Because even looking at that question, I was thinking about it. It wasn't just impulse. To me, heart is impulse and head is like thoughtful process. I'm probably thoughtful impulse. I'm like, think about it. That's what I want. Okay. But I thought about it. It didn't just have a feeling and go for it. What are you?
Totally head. Whenever I think about things, I probably overthink most of the time.
Probably.
I probably overthink most of the time. But yeah, definitely, I definitely think things through. I think about multiple scenarios. Think about how things should go. I think about if I'm thinking about it too much. So I'm definitely head over heart. Okay, the next one. How do you feel when your partner gets hit on?
I haven't.
Well, the options are.
Okay.
Do you feel jealous or proud of yourself?
I don't feel like I've seen this happen with us where I have.
I know for
seen
a fact it did twice. I have two distinct memories
of where you got hit on and I was there.
Right there.
Give me the memories. How did I block these out?
One, well, first, what do you think your answer is?
So wait, do I get jealous or what?
Proud. Jealous or proud of yourself?
I want to say that I feel proud, but you clearly have experiences that I don't remember. So was I proud?
Oh, I don't have an experience.
You said I remember
clearly. Why do you say proud?
See, you're trying to evade my question. I see you. I feel proud because it means like, yeah, I have something people want.
Uh-huh.
That's fine.
Okay.
Tell me the story now.
No, it was just a couple times. What bar did we used to go to before?
I forget which bar it was, but I was thinking about that time. I would love to hear you tell the story because I want to hear how you tell the story.
We were sitting at the bar and you were standing like next to me, but like behind me to my right or something like that. Mm-hmm. And like this guy like came up on the other side and was like about to talk to me. And you like walked up, like you were already close, but you like walked up a little bit. And then he like realized that you were with me and he kind of turned away and did whatever. And I noticed that, and I think you did too, because you said something like, was he trying to talk to you? I'm standing right here.
Okay. See, funny, the way I remember that story is, let's just say you were wearing a nice shirt with an interesting cut.
Oh, God.
And I remember noticing the guy, not because he approached, but because I saw him looking at you before he came to the bar.
Oh.
He was like a little off the bar, but I could tell he was looking at you.
Okay.
And so
that's but then he came up.
And I thought he was coming to get a drink.
Well, that's what you always do when you're coming up to talk to somebody.
Okay, but you know, you can tell when somebody's coming to get a drink next to you so they can talk to you.
Right.
I thought he was approaching the bar to get a drink. But he then turned and that's when I was like, oh, okay. So let me make my presence known. So I didn't think, yeah, I mean, I guess the reason why I didn't necessarily think of that up front is because he didn't actually hit on you.
No, he didn't say anything to
right,
me.
Right, but it looked like that's where it was going to go if I didn't show up. And funny enough, afterwards, he was still looking at you, and then I felt proud.
Okay, consistent answer. If I were to answer this one, how do I feel if you were to get hit on? and I'm there in front. You know, I want to say, I would say proud, but at the same time, I don't, it's not jealousy, but it's just like, girl, don't be looking over here.
That would actually have been interesting. Like, now I feel like it'd be less fun. It would have been more fun when we were dating.
Why?
To see that happen. I would love to have seen how you react. Because, okay, so guys, they kind of like approach and kind of like show, okay, this is my territory.
Right.
Like, I don't know what women do. Usually they flash a ring.
Right. Some women would flash a ring. Some women would just like, you know, like cuddle, like kind of get under your arm or drape themselves over you or something. I don't know. I really don't know what I would do. But my thought process is more like, and then, you know what? I look at you like, are you looking at this person? That's probably what I would do. I definitely put my energy into, oh, so what's your response?
What's my response?
Because I can't help who's out here on these streets, but what's your response?
You don't got to worry about the streets. What you got to worry about is that green line in D.C. That's what you got to worry about.
Oh, my goodness.
Those were the days. You needed to be on that train because they were interested.
One girl looked at you and this is the story.
I told you about one.
Oh, okay.
That's what happened.
All right, next question. What is the correct use of money? Accruing interest or making it rain?
Well, given that I'm in business school, it is accruing interest, but more specifically, future value of money. And that doesn't necessarily mean just interest. But you've got to think about how you structure it.
Oh my gosh, what a complicated answer. This is supposed to be simple, honey.
Okay, not making it rain. That's not the true, like, purpose of money.
Okay, well, I agree with you. Let's make our money make money.
Then you can make it rain.
And then the last one. How would most people describe you in a in one word? You
want nice.
Oh my god, I was going to say that for myself. No, we're so boring.
Yes,
we
are.
We both describe.
Yes, that's why we're together.
We both describe ourselves as nice.
No, that's not how I would describe myself.
No, but that's how people would describe us.
I think people would be like, oh, he's nice.
Oh my gosh. That's like so funny, coincidental, and also sad.
All that? You went through all those feelings just now? Okay.
Because I was looking at it, I was like, I think people would just say I'm nice. Like they would be like, she's nice. And then when you said it, I was like, don't you think that's funny?
No, I think it's...
What does that mean? You know what? I need an edge.
Okay.
I need an edge. When I dyed my hair...
Thing. When I dyed... You're thinking too much.
What?
You're thinking too much. What does that mean? Now I have to change because...
No, I don't have to change. I probably won't change. But like, when I change my hair...
I probably won't change. But when I change...
But when I change my physical appearance... It definitely changes your attitude a little bit. But I think, like, fundamentally, like, you know, you are who you are. So, wow. So we're both just nice.
Nice.
Anyways, I think these are fun. This would be something I feel like could kind of spruce up a date night. So sometimes, you know, we're sitting across from each other and kind of don't have anything else to talk about. Don't want to talk about work. Maybe don't want to talk about school. Don't be surprised if I buy the app. $1.99.
You don't need this app.
Give me some questions.
You don't need
but you know
this
what?
App.
Maybe this will be like a recurring segment. We can just like talk a little bit about the and.
Look.
Go through some questions.
I'll tell you what. It cost more, but it was more fun and it lasted longer when we used to do those All About Me books.
Yeah.
That was like for if you are out there in a relationship and you haven't done it, do it. Because they kind of hit you with a mix of some heavy questions that you got to be ready for. But there's also a bunch of light stuff that you probably just never thought to talk about.
The book is literally called All About Us. It's a series. You can do the All About Me book, but it's basically just a question back and forth with you and your partner. You go through a ton of stuff. I gave that to a friend as a engagement gift, and they went through the book too. It's just like a fun thing. But
it's a good one.
Again, kind of like the conversation starters like this.
Right, but it's like when you can really sit down. And, you know, we did it. It would be like late at night. But maybe you just want to do it, get some drinks, chill out, and you're having like, we're going to hang inside tonight. This would be a good option.
All right, on to the next.
In All Things Inspirations, we share our thoughts on inspirational messages that get you thinking and keep you motivated.
Okay, so we are going to just briefly listen to Denzel Washington's NAACP Image Award, his speech. He won Outstanding Actor in a Motion Picture for his role in Fences, and he gives a really great speech, an encouraging speech during his acceptance. And so we're going to play that for All Things Inspiration, and we're not going to have commentary after this because really Denzel says it all.
My man.
All right, listen in.
Thank you very much. Tennessee Williams, Arthur Miller, Eugene O'Neill, Edward Albee, August Wilson. August Wilson is one of the greatest playwrights in the history of American or world theater. It is a privilege, an honor, a responsibility, a duty, and a joy to bring his brilliance to the screen. I am particularly proud and happy about the young filmmakers, actors, singers, writers, producers that are coming up behind my generation. In particular, Barry Jenkins. Young people understand this young man made 10, 15, 20 short films before he got the opportunity to make Moonlight. So never give up. Without commitment, you'll never start. But more importantly, without consistency, you'll never finish. It's not easy. If it was easy, there'd be no Kerry Washington. If it was easy, there'd be no Taraji Henson, Pete Henson. If it were easy, there'd be no Octavia Spencer. But not only that, if it were easy, there'd be no Viola Davis. If it were easy, there'd be no Michael T. Williamson, no Stephen McKinley Henderson, no Russell Hornsby. If it were easy, there'd be no Denzel Washington. So keep working. Keep striving, never give up, fall down 7 times, get up 8. Ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. Ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. So keep moving, keep growing, keep learning. See you at work.
The great Denzel.
That's all we got to say.
That's all we got to say. I mean, actually, I want to talk about it, but I won't. I mean, it stands alone. That was a really great speech. He did a good job.
That's all we got to say.
Okay, well, I guess that's it for the episode this week. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, _ all these things, and follow us on Facebook. That's where we post the links to our show.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Talk to you next week.